You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, Grizzlies lose another one to the Trailblazers, 99-92. That is four in a row for the Grizzlies that they've lost. That is... I believe they're 1-6 in the last seven games, and it doesn't get any easier for this team. They go on and go out and on the road again to the Kings, and then on Friday, and then on Sunday on the road to the Lakers. So it doesn't get any easier for this team. They had a very, very good shot against the Blazers to win this game. They had they have an outside chance to win this game against the Kings as well. I don't think they'll win the game against the Lakers. And then they come back home to play Cleveland next Wednesday on the 26th, and then Boston that Saturday on the 29th. But the Grizzlies, again, they have a really tough road trip, tough two games. I mean, Sacramento's still a decent team for this year. Lakers obviously have LeBron James, the best player in the world, so doesn't get any easier, and they really, really needed this win against the Blazers. We'll talk about this win more mostly, and then in the third segment, the third segment of this show, we'll have Joe Mullinix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, to join me. He's had a couple feature articles for the blog that are really, really good. We'll talk about those, some other stuff as well as last things that have happened in the last week or so since we have last spoken. But as always in this Thursday show, in that third segment, Joe Mullinix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, joins me on the show, and we talk Grizzlies, and we'll catch up with him and get his thoughts on the state of the Grizzlies, offense, things like that. It's a good conversation, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But coming up next after the break, we will talk about this Blazers-Grizzlies game, what happened, try to break it down a little bit more, and see if we can figure out why they lost again. Spoiler alert, it's a lot of the same stuff we've talked about before. Welcome back to the show. Again, make sure you stay tuned for the third segment. We're having a conversation with Joe Mullinix. So these first two segments were not going to be as long because it was a longer conversation with Joe than our normal conversations. So I'm trying to keep these first two segments a little shorter. But Grizzlies go out and lose again to the Blazers. Again, that's four in a row. Ivan Rabb got to play tonight, had 10 minutes. Looks really, really good for Ivan Rabb. He was actually in Vegas, and they flew him there last minute, got to the game in Portland because Joakim Noah was a scratch. Omri Caspi didn't play because he was apparently sick. I think he was sick of the Grizzlies' offense. I don't know. But he didn't play as well. But Ivan Rabb looked great tonight. I still don't understand why he doesn't get more minutes. I mean, we talked about on this very show before they signed Joakim Noah, why in the world, Ivan Rabb, why don't you just play him? I mean, instead of the Joakim Noah. Ivan Rabb, 10 minutes, 3-for-3, two free throws, 7 rebounds, assist, and 8 points in 10 minutes. I mean, I don't know what else you want him to do. At one point, he had like 6 rebounds, 6 assists in like 5 minutes, which is absolutely ridiculous. He was incredible tonight for a rookie. I mean, he played really, really well. Javon Carter did get to play 12 minutes, wasn't very effective on the offensive end. He did look lost a few times out there on defense, but you know, it couldn't have been worse than what Shelvin Mack was doing. Shelvin Mack was just, he was all full. 22 minutes, 0-for-5, 2 assists, 2 steals, minus 23 in the plus minus. Just not good. There's no reason that you should have been playing. Javon got most of his run in the first half, and then inexplicably, he doesn't get any run in the second half, or that much at all. He plays in the fourth quarter, and Shelvin Mack, you know, again, I don't think he could have gotten worse for Shelvin Mack. Wayne Selden was also just not good at all. 9 minutes, 0-for-4, a couple rebounds, minus 12. You know, besides Ivan Rabb off the bench, there just wasn't anything there. Ivan Rabbit had 8 points. Jamaka Green had 4 points. Jevon Carter, 0. Shelvin Mack, 2. Wayne Selden, 0. That's it. That is it. Off the bench, 16 points. That just, you're not going to win any games doing that. You have to have someone else doing something. The starters were largely good tonight. Garrett Temple was very consistent, very good on defense, 4 for 7, 10 points, exactly what you want Garrett Temple to be. Good on defense, consistent on offense, with 10 to 12 points. That's what we've talked about. That's good for Garrett Temple. Marc Gasol, 2 passive tonight, 4 for 13, 1 for 6 from 3, only 14 points, had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, but just, he was aggressive, and most of his points came late in the game, and he was aggressive with about 4 minutes to go. I mean, just too little too late. You need Mark to be like that in the beginning of the game, and I know I am preaching something that is never going to happen, because that's just not who Marc Gasol is. He's passive by nature. He is just not, it's just not going to happen. But if this team wants to have any shot at winning any games coming up, he has to do something other than pass the ball right back to Mike Conley. Jaren Jackson Jr. was good tonight, 6 for 12, 2 for 4 from 3, 16 points. Kyle Anderson also played really well, 7 for 8, 15 points. I mean, like I said, your starters were largely really good. Mike Conley took 19 shots with 7 for 19, 23 points. I mean, the Grizzlies have no offense. The offense for the Grizzlies is give it to Mike Conley and see what happens. That's what the offense for the Grizzlies is. The offense for the Grizzlies during the game is side pick and roll, dribble handoff from Mark to, or from Mark to Mike. Mike does a little dribble penetration. He either continues to drive to either shoot continues to drive to get a layup, or he shoots a jumper, or he passes it back to Mark for three, which Mark usually passes right back to Mike. Sometimes Mark takes it. So not a whole lot of creativity there in the offense for the Grizzlies. Just not good enough. And in the offense for the fourth quarter and late in the fourth quarter for this Grizzlies team is just see what Mike Conley can do. And that's just, it's just bad coaching at this point. I mean, you have to do something other than just see what Mike can do. I know the end-all, be-all is going to give it to your best players late in the games, or just any spot in the games. You're going to give it to your best players, and they're going to make things happen. But when your only offense is Mike Conley, teams just, they know exactly what you're going to do. It's so one-dimensional that teams can sell out to Mike Conley and say, okay, guess what? We're going to make Shelvin Mack beat us, and we'll take our chances. Because usually, they're going to be on the right side of that equation. If they're going to just let Shelvin Mack or Ivan Rabb, for that matter, Garrett Temple, Kyle Anderson, we're just going to let those guys just beat us. We'll take our chances with those guys. We're going to sell out to Mike Conley. They don't even have to worry about Marc Gasol because he doesn't even really shoot the ball. There's not much. There's not much else you can do. There's not much else defensively that they need to do other than make sure that Mike Conley make life really, really difficult for Mike Conley and Marc Gasol on some nights, and then everybody else will just see what happens. The Grizzlies cannot continue to get 16 points off their bench. It just won't work. The Grizzlies just were sloppy tonight, did not play good basketball in times. Except for the first quarter, where they started the game off really, really well. They were up to 15-4 at one point. But beyond that, they just, you know, Portland had 15 points off their turnovers. And they should have had way more. I mean, the Grizzlies they turned the Portland over a lot. They turned Portland over 21 times and still didn't win this game. Again, Portland gets 13 offensive rebounds, out rebounds them by almost 10, out rebounds by 9 rebounds. Just, you know, Damian Lillard, they played a great first half, and then Damian Lillard comes out in the second half and hits 4 threes, and just, the Grizzlies defense just have a lapse, and as we've talked about before, you know if your offense is going to be like that, you can't have lapses like that on defense, which it's hard to ask for that kind of concentration the entire game. It's just difficult, and those things happen. But your offense is going to do something other than score 92 points in an NBA game to be able to compensate for that, and the Grizzlies just can't do it. So they're going to have to do something else other than what they're doing, because what they're doing isn't working. You know, even when Dylan Brooks gets back, I'm not sure if that puts you over the hump. I mean, it will definitely help when Dylan gets back. I'm not sure it puts you over the hump. We'll see. But there's no excuse for playing Shelvin Mack 22 minutes when you could play Javon Carter just as many and have just as bad impact or possibly better. I mean, I don't understand it. Shelvin Mack was just, he was awful tonight. At some point, you have to start experimenting. You have to figure out offense. You have to be creative in your offense. You have to do something other than what you're doing, because what you're doing isn't working. And so hopefully, as we continue to say this every single day, hopefully they will change something, because they are continuing to lose basketball games and it could get out of hand pretty quickly. But obviously they're still very much in this mix for this playoff race. I mean, the West is so tight, you know, from 4 to 5 to almost 13 is within a few games. So they're very much in this mix. This is not a panic situation right now. They're very much in the mix for the playoffs. They have to obviously survive December. They have to, but they do also have to figure this offense out. They got to do something. And I think it starts with running Kyle Anderson more of a point guard, getting Jaren Jackson Jr. some better looks when Mike and Mark are on the bench, playing him at different times, getting Ira Rabb some more minutes. Let's see what Javon Carter can do on defensively as a backup point guard. These are all things that could do. And just don't happen. So we'll see as the time goes on. Again, they play right again on Friday at the Kings, and then on Sunday at the Lakers. So it's a possibility to get that win against the Keys, although it'll still be difficult. It will definitely be difficult to get against the Lakers, and I don't expect them to win that game. But coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. As always, this third segment of our Thursday show, we'll have that conversation coming up next. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Again, as always, this third segment of the show on Thursdays. Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. Thanks for joining me again this week, man. We missed it last week. I was out of town. You were sick, but we're back. How you doing?
I was sick because I was missing you so much. I guess that's what happened. You were gone, and it just threw off my mojo. No, I apologize to Sean. I usually don't do that, but I was pretty out of it, so I had to miss that appointment. I did listen to some of the shows last week. He did a pretty good job in your stead, however, and I was impressed with the work that he did, but it is good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I want to talk Grizzlies basketball. You dropped a couple articles this week, mainly one today. Recording this on Wednesday night as usual, but had one today on the ghost of Chandler Parsons. I thought it was a great read for anybody that hasn't read Joseph. Go over to GrizzlyBearBlues.com. It's on the front page. But what can we expect from Chandler Parsons, or what can we expect with the Grizzlies from Chandler Parsons, if anything at all? What happens with the future of Chandler Parsons? Because you and I were both, I think we've been on the same page for a couple of years now about the idea of Chandler Parsons. We've loved it for so long, but I think that idea is probably over. But what can we expect from Chandler Parsons, the Grizzlies? What's the future look like?
Well, there's a couple of layers to that. To expect from Chandler Parsons, period, is nothing. You expect nothing moving forward. You count it as a loss. And when I say loss, I don't even mean like he'll never be what we thought he would be. I mean, that ship probably sailed 2 years ago now. He will probably never play substantial minutes, if any minutes at all, for the Memphis Grizzlies ever again. That's pretty dark and dreary, but I think it's being honest. You know, you have to kind of look at the reality of the situation. He's been through all sorts of different rehabilitations. He's tried so many different things, and none of it has worked, and he hasn't been able to stay on the court. So I don't think it's necessarily through any fault of his own. I think he's done everything that he can to try to make it work, and his body's just failing him. So I would expect nothing. You know, if he plays again for the Grizzlies at all, I'll be somewhat surprised. What you can expect from Memphis is more of the same. They have no real incentive to say he's out for the season now. Every couple of weeks when they put out their medical reports to the media, they say he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And I think they'll just keep doing that until eventually they get to the point where they can, you know, whether it's an insurance claim or whatever the thing is they're waiting for, they'll just say that he's done for the season, and it'll probably go to the summer, and there'll only be 1 year left on that max contract he signed several summers ago, and they'll buy him out. And I think that's probably the most likely outcome at this stage. That's not to say that he couldn't come back. It's possible, and he's, again, it's not like he's not trying. He's shown that he's trying, and I will always believe that Chandler Parsons, if healthy, would have been exactly what the Grizzlies needed when that contract was signed. The money was sound, and it made sense to go about it the way that they went about it. So I will always support that signing. It just didn't work. Sometimes you swing for the fence and you strike out, and that's what this was and will probably be. And again, Chandler has done his best. You know, you can't help your health. So he's done just about everything he can. And it's just not paid off. And that was kind of the gist of the story. As you mentioned, I've been busy over at the blog this week. Football's finally over my day job. So I'm able to focus a little bit more on our blogging and our writing over there. And our staff has been doing a pretty good job as well. But it's always nice when I can jump into a feature like that on somebody that I'm as passionate about and unfortunately in the long term as wrong about as Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, like you said, I was I'm just as sad because I love the idea of Chandler Parsons, and when that happened, it was I think it was such a good day because I finally thought they were going to finally get what they needed, and you know, like you've seen flashes and you just always hope, and but like you said, I would not be surprised either if he has played his last games for the city of Memphis this year. So, but I want to talk about your other article you wrote. I think it's the more important one. I think it's the more, focused on this point right in the season right now. And that's
right.
Was more about the offense and the Grizzlies, what they need to do to start to score more points. I have said it on this podcast, I don't know how many times, that secondary offense has to be better. I mean, that's where they are consistently struggling from. But you had a really good article, and I think the most important point off that thing was the feature of Kyle Anderson as a point guard. He literally said it in his opening or in his press conference here that he wanted to have the ball in his hand. What did the Grizzlies have to do to do that? I mean, I thought they would have used that time in the Warriors' loss to experiment, but they really didn't. What did the Grizzlies have to do to get him the ball in his hands in more of a point guard setting? And what does that look like?
I think J.B. Bickerstaff just needs to be willing to experiment, as you mentioned just a moment ago, and also be a little unconventional. You know, Mike Conley, with all the acquisitions that Memphis made, and they've made some pretty good acquisitions. I've given credit to this front office on multiple occasions about the work they've done or they did this past offseason. The fascinating thing is all these players, Garrett Temple, Kyle Anderson, who we're talking about here, multiple guys who have experience facilitating offense, bringing the ball up the court, initiating sets in the half court. It just hasn't been utilized. And to me, this whole time, it just watching, it was like, okay, they're going to use Mike Conley more as a scorer. That makes sense. He's the one guy who can consistently score against just about anybody in the NBA off the dribble for himself, create, and for others. So, yeah, run him off some screens. Let him do some backdoor cuts. Let him do some elevator doors where somebody else is getting him the ball and the catch and shoot. You know, that made total sense. And for whatever reason, it just hadn't come to fruition consistently as of yet. Kyle Anderson's a great example of that. He's not a scorer. He's not somebody who's going to put up 13 to 15 points a night. He's just not going to. But what he can do is put up, you know, 7 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assist lines, and do that pretty consistently. He's unique. He kind of fits that mold of trying to be a unique player on a unique team. And to me, that Swiss Army knife versatility just hasn't been fully recognized on offense. Defensively, Kyle Anderson's used very well. I think you could make a dark horse all defense argument for Kyle Anderson in terms of some of the stuff he's done this season. But on the offensive end, they're just still trying to figure out how to use him. In fairness to JB, it took Greg Popovich a couple of years as well to best utilize Kyle Anderson. But you have a lot of Spurs film that you can watch. And by the end, the Spurs were getting the most out of the squeeze when it comes to Kyle, to the point of Memphis thinking he was worth the contract that he signed, that they signed him to. So he's 25 years old. There's still plenty of room for development, and they're still working him into his prime. They'll figure it out. And as they figure it out, they'll understand that the best way to utilize him is to help him get to the stage where he can help Mike Conley. He can help Garrett Temple. He can help these other guys getting the ball in situations where it is most advantageous for them to score, because that's what the Grizzlies need more than anything, is the ability to put as many points on the board as they can. Their defense is going to travel. Their defense, for the most part, is going to stay consistent. they just have to find more offense. And the most natural source for that is Mike Conley. Kyle Anderson should be there as a facilitator for that.
Yeah, you know, that's probably the most disappointing thing about the offense for JB is just it's very one-dimensional. It is very, very, you know, you can predict exactly what he's going to do on offense. And that's probably the most disappointing thing about this season so far with JB is just there's been, like you said, there's been no creativity for either Jaren or Kyle. The other person I wanted, you mentioned in that article, and I think it was almost kind of a footnote, was Joakim Noah. Thoughts on Noah a couple weeks in? I am on the lines of very unimpressed. I mean, you know, this is what we thought we were going to get and nothing more. But thoughts on Joakim Noah and what he should or shouldn't be doing?
I think that he came in guns a-blazing with energy, trying to have something to prove, and that made total sense. You know, he felt he was wronged in New York to an extent and wasn't given the full opportunity, or he didn't take full advantage of it. You know, he's taken blame for his side of that as well, and I just think he's an older player who shouldn't be counted on to be a full nightly rotation guy at this stage of his career. You know, to me, for the Grizzlies, it makes more sense to keep feeding Jermichael Green those minutes. Ivan Rabb has been a monster with the Memphis hustle, so it makes sense to see what he can do in this game. As we record on Wednesday night, you know, this game that Portland is playing against the Grizzlies, Ivan Rabb had some really good minutes. So I think Ivan Rabb can play that role a little bit as he finds his footing as an NBA player. Excuse me. And Joakim Noah should be a every other night, every other third game, gets 12 minutes against certain matchups. That should be the use of him. And that's not a knock on him. I think he can be effective in that role. But if you want him to get 14 to 16 minutes a night or per game in a four-game week, I just don't think you're going to get that from him consistently on a night-in, night-out basis. That's not the strength of his game. That's not what he's going to be able to do. And in fairness to him, he hasn't been asked to do that in a very long time. So to go from pretty much a sedentary lifestyle, at least as sedentary as it can be in the NBA, you know, not playing games night-in and night-out, to being a rotation guy, that's probably a stretch, especially for someone at the stage of their career that Joakim Noah is.
Yeah, and that was the biggest gripe I had with Joakim Noah was that, not necessarily with Joakim Noah, there was a signing, was that you had Ivan Rabb right there. And if you're, you know, you had certain nights where you literally had people fouling out, if you weren't going to play Ivan Rabb then, you were literally, you know, you didn't want to play him at all. And so it's good to see, like you said, mention he's getting minutes in this Blazers game as we record. It's good to see him getting good minutes and playing really well. The last question I'll have for you is I want to get your thoughts on the weekend that was just crazy for me and you as well. Grizzlies that had a trade that didn't happen, had a signing that didn't happen. Were you a fan of that trade as it was constructed with Dylan Brooks in it, or as Phoenix thought it was constructed with Dylan Brooks in it, or as Memphis thought they were constructed with Marshawn Brooks in it? What were your thoughts on the trade that didn't happen?
Well, with Marshawn Brooks in it, I thought it was a home run. I've never been a big Marshawn Brooks fan. I think he is a scorer of the basketball, and that's about it, and he's inconsistent at that. So if you're a one-trick pony, you better be able to do that trick 95% of the time, and Marshawn's just not capable of doing that. There's a reason he was in China for 4 years. It was a great story and a lost season for the Grizzlies, but it just hasn't worked out. Wayne Selden is young. Obviously, there's some potential there, but he's been with the Grizzlies for a while. He's also been inconsistent. So if you could take those two players and a couple of second-round picks and turn that into a 23-year-old wing who has only known the dysfunction that is the Washington Wizards, you do that. You make that trade every time. So with Marshawn, I think it's great. With Dylan, I'm not as sold because I feel like 2 second rounders, the cap friendly contract of Dylan Brooks, that's a lot to give up for Kelly Oubre, especially considering that you're probably going to have to sign Kelly Oubre to a 10-ish million dollar a year extension in the offseason. And Memphis will have money to be able to do that, not go over the tax with the expiring of Jermichael Green and Garrett Temple, especially if Marc Gasol opts out, which he may do. There's no real read on that, at least as of now. I think he'd be foolish to opt out, but maybe he'll go the Zebo route and choose maybe a 3-year, $39 million extension over the 1-year, $25 million that I think roughly he's due in that player option. But anyway, regardless of what Mark decides, there's going to be money where you could have re-signed Kelly Oubre and not gone over the tax. I just think that you lose a lot. So you lose a lot in the cap-friendly deal, like I said, Dillenbrooks, the ability to pay him long-term, multiple second-round picks for a team that's probably not going to have a 2019 first. That kind of, to me, was the line. You know, Marshawn, yes, Dillon, no. Or if you wanted Dillon, you'd have to at least take out one of those second-rounders for me to consider it. I don't think Dillon is untouchable by any stretch of the imagination, but three resources for a guy in Kelly Oubre, that felt like a bit much, at least to me.
Yeah, I think I probably landed right on the money where you are. Especially with Marshawn, it's a home run. With Dillon, I think it's a little bit, you have to think about it for sure, because I think you're getting largely a lot of the same player, and you know the contracts are different. So I think we probably agree on that. It's good to get your take. Again, Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, joining me again, like he does every Thursday, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Of course. Happy to do it. Looking forward to next week already.
Thanks again for Joe for joining me. I appreciate him coming on every week and giving us some really good insight. Again, if you haven't read Joe's articles over the past few days, he has a couple. Make sure you check those out at grizzlybearblues.com. They're excellent feature articles. Make sure you're following the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at King_producer. If you have questions, shoot them to me on Twitter, DM me, or you can email them to me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Love the questions. It's good for me to have something to answer, see what you guys are thinking. But also, if you'd like to be a feature sponsor on this show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at lockedongrizzlies.com.